What are your consumer complaints? We are going to talk about the top 10 areas getting consumer complaints in the nation last year and what we can do to protect ourselves and report the bad guys. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, August 22nd. Let us know your top consumer complaints and frustrations at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Susan Grant, the Director of Consumer Protection at the Consumer Federation of America. This recent survey of top consumer complaints was produced as a joint effort of the Consumer Federation of America and the North American Consumer Protection Investigators. And we have posted the list on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Susan Grant, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about the top 10 list of complaints. Let's start with number one. Why do you suppose automobiles are topping the list?
Well, I think there's several reasons. First of all, buying a car, whether it's used or new, is a major expenditure. So if something goes wrong, you're likely to complain about it. The same goes with auto repairs. Usually that's an expensive transaction. And we depend on our cars to get to work, to get to school, go to the grocery store, and do other things that we need to do. So if something happens and you're inconvenienced, it's a problem that you're going to try to attend to right away. And if you can't resolve it with the auto repair shop or the car dealer, then your next step is to contact your state or local consumer protection agency.
Mm-hmm. Well, with so all of those buying a car or repairing a car, that's, you know, that's all lumped into this number one spot. Should we, I don't know, is there any reason to believe that the automobile retail business is any less reliable than other businesses?
I don't think so. Certainly there are problems with misleading sales tactics for cars and auto repair shops that take advantage of people. It doesn't mean that that's the only problem that there is out there, as the rest of our top 10 list illustrates. But a lot of people have cars, and there are a lot of problems that can happen with cars. And so it's, unfortunately, a popular subject of complaint.
Yeah, I can go on all hour, but I won't. And number two on the list was home improvement. What sorts of complaints do consumers have when it comes to that?
That ranges from having repairs done to your home to major remodeling jobs to new home construction. And again, one reason why this is probably one of the top areas of complaint is the amount of money involved. It's an expensive transaction usually. And if something goes wrong, you're not only talking about a lot of money, but you're talking about the roof leaking over your head or not being able to live in your home because of something that's made it uninhabitable, or planning to move into a new home that's not ready yet. So, again, this is something that consumers are likely to complain about when things go wrong, and where they would turn would be to the agencies that we surveyed, which are agencies that operate at the state and local level. It's not something that one would complain to a federal agency about, for instance.
Yeah. Does this the list of home improvement complaints include or not the truck full of guys that come up to your door and say, "Hey, we got extra tar. We'll put that on your driveway."
It certainly does, and that's something that consumers have to be vigilant about. No reputable contractor of any kind goes door to door looking for work. They've got plenty of work to do. And so if someone knocks at your door saying that they've got car left over from a job up the road, or that they were driving by and they noticed that your roof needs repair or something else, you know it's a scam. Don't do business with them, and in fact, get their license plate number and call the police and report it.
Yeah. You know, I am seeing more and more ever since, though, the do not call list really, you know, came in vogue. More and more door-to-door solicitations of people saying, would you like an estimate on new siding, or would you like an estimate on new windows or something along those lines? That's not necessarily a scam, or is it?
Well, I know people get a lot of calls, and I get them too, from contractors for things like replacement windows or chimney cleaning, trying to get my business. I don't know of any legitimate contractors that go door to door. And if somebody comes to your door, you certainly don't want to agree to anything on the spot. Get a written estimate from the person, get some estimates from other contractors, and also you might want to check the person's reputation. You can ask for references and check out with people for whom they've previously done work to find out whether it was satisfactory. And in some cases, if there are local or state licensing or registration requirements, you can contact the appropriate agency and find out, first of all, is the contractor complying with those requirements, and secondly, have there been any kind of disciplinary actions for problems?
Mm-hmm. Number three on your list, credit debit issues. Like what?
Credit and debt includes problems with debt collection. That's a major area of consumer complaint where there are illegal or abusive debt collection tactics. It includes problems with credit accounts in terms of inaccuracies and mistakes that consumers are trying to fix. It includes problems with people's mortgages, and that's certainly been a big subject of complaint over the past few years. It includes problems with credit reports, and also companies that offer to repair your credit for a fee or get you a loan even though you have bad credit and other credit-related services. It also includes predatory lending, things like title loans and payday loans that charge exorbitant rates.
So there's the top three from this top 10 list of complaints that consumers filed in 2013, automobile, home improvement, and credit debt areas. One of the areas, though, that is the fastest growing in terms of consumer complaints, and I'm not surprised, it has to do with technology and internet and mobile phones. A lot of people, we're having a lot of issues when it comes to that, Susan?
Well, the when we asked what the fastest growing complaints were at state and local consumer protection agencies, do not call violations and other telemarketing abuses top the list. And technology has something to do with that. Because these days, with internet phone service, caller ID, spoofing software, prepaid cell phones that scammers can buy anonymously and use and then discard, auto dialers that make it really inexpensive and easy to call a whole bunch of people very quickly, all of these technologies are used by modern-day legitimate telemarketers sometimes, as well as scammers. And this actually was a surprise to me, because in this era of the Internet with e-commerce booming, You would think that maybe the fastest growing area of complaint would be solicitations through the internet, but it's solicitations by phone that is the fastest growing problem. And when I thought about it, I realized that there's a good reason for that. I mean, there's this technology that makes it feasible, but also I think that human connection is really powerful. When you get somebody on the phone and you can communicate with them that way, I think that probably resonates better than sending somebody an unsolicited email.
Oh yeah, I can relate to that, and I apologize for misreading the fastest growing area of complaint. Even when people are on a do not call list, we especially the famous one that a lot of my friends are experiencing, and I'm getting it too, is Rachel from Financial Services. Are you familiar with Rachel?
I sure am, and all of her friends and relatives.
Yes.
I mean, and you brought up one of the biggest areas of telemarketing abuses, and that is robocalls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those pre-recorded sales calls. There are very strict rules about those. You're not supposed to get a robo sales call unless you've given the company written permission in advance to make that kind of call to you. And that law just seems to be totally ignored, and people are being deluged with these robo-sales calls. I think it's important to remind your listeners, though, that there are always exceptions to these laws. So, for instance, when we talk about robo-sales calls, we're not including political campaign calls, which are pre-recorded now in many cases. For better or worse, those could be made to you without your having given permission or not to receive them.
Right. We will continue talking about consumer complaints and the top 10 areas that are getting your consumer complaints with our guest, Susan Grant, the Director of Consumer Protection at the Consumer Federation of America. What sorts of consumer complaints do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Susan Grant, the Director of Consumer Protection at the Consumer Federation of America. We are talking with her about the recently released list of the top consumer complaints that have been filed with agencies around the country in the past year. Automobile problems topped the list, whether they were about false advertising and sales, lemons, faulty repairs, or leasing and towing disputes. Other complaints touched on phone and other utility problems, credit and debt disputes, and all-out fraud. And we've been talking about many of these complaints and talking about one of the fastest area of complaints, the do not call list of violations or various phone solicitations. So what's your pet peeve when it comes to the do not call list violations or other consumer complaints? Have you ever been the victim of outright fraud? Have you been ripped off by an unscrupulous business? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other issues on the list. Retail sales. What are some of the top complaints when it comes to retail sales, Susan Grant?
Well, there are problems with people applying for rebates and never receiving them. People being able to having problems using gift cards and coupons that were supposedly going to give them discounts on things, false advertising, defective merchandise. It really runs the gamut. And a lot of the problems with retail sales, unfortunately, have to do with business closings. It's not as bad, perhaps, as it was at the height of the recession, but even well-known and long-time businesses can suddenly close, leaving consumers in the lurch with orders that they've prepaid for and they never received the merchandise, or, you know, they have a gift certificate that they haven't used. So there are a lot of different kinds of problems with retail sales. Yeah.
When it comes to, I don't know, maybe more the first kind of a complaint when it comes to retail sales, I mean, any advice on how to prevent those types of complaints from happening?
Well, one thing that I suggest to people is that whenever you're buying something for future delivery, you're ordering something that's going to be delivered later, pay with a credit card if you can rather than a debit card or a check or cash, because you have the right under federal law to dispute the charges if the merchandise is never delivered, and so you're not out the money.
Yeah, so that is a good idea. What? We actually have some callers coming in, and we have a news break coming up. So let me share first. Marsha on Facebook says, "My biggest consumer service pet peeve is having to go through press one for this or two for that, or worse, having to speak my issue to a computer when I have a simple question that could be answered in 2 seconds by a human being answering the phone." Well, that's customer service, I guess. Does that end up on the list, Susan?
It doesn't, but I sympathize. I think every single person would recognize that. And what I do is I keep on saying agent until somebody comes on the line.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right. If you keep on saying that, then eventually the computer will get the message.
Right.
Brandy in Twin Lakes is with us. Hi, Brandy.
Hi, Joy.
Yes, what's your consumer complaint?
Many of the major retailers are selling these money pack cards, and what is happening is scammers are using them to get cash directly from people. But what is also happening is that people are legitimately trying to use them for PayPal, et cetera, and they... other people are selling the card number, so they put their money on, and by the time they get home, the cash is wiped off the card.
What exactly is a money pack card, Brandy?
It's not a reloadable debit card. It's a card that you go into Walgreens and you purchase for $4.95, and you give them cash. And if it's for some have a debit or a credit card.
I see.
It allows you to load money on like a PayPal account to buy things over the internet so people don't have access to your personal accounts. And what happens is once the money's loaded on there, you can go in and transfer it to PayPal. But what's happening is people are selling the numbers to these cards because they're not, they're wide open on the card when you go buy it. So if someone happens to purchase this card and put money on it, they're wiping the money off before the people can even use the card to transfer it.
Well, that stinks, Susan Grant.
Oh, I'm very familiar with this. It's called a cash reload product, and Brandy has described it really well. The way that crooks are taking advantage of this is they'll... in a typical scam where they might have otherwise told the consumer to send the money using Western Union or MoneyGram, instead they'll say, go to the store, get a money pack, put $500 on it, and then give me the number of the money pack card. And with that number, they can then transfer the funds on that card to a prepaid card and cash it out. And you'll be glad to hear that Green Dot Corporation, the maker of the MoneyPack product, is phasing it out so that by early next year, this is not going to be an issue anymore. And it's going to be replaced by a card that will be reloadable at the cash register by swiping it. So there's not going to be any number anymore on the card that you would then use for anything. It's unfortunate because it did offer convenience to people who wanted to use that to do things like make transactions online with approved merchants, but it was just too susceptible to abuse. There are some similar products out there, and we're going to be talking with the makers of those products because we fully expect that what's happening right now with fraud on the money pack cards will just migrate to these other products.
We are talking with Susan Grant, the Director of Consumer Protection at the Consumer Federation of America, talking about a recently released national list of the top consumer complaints and talking about how we can protect ourselves from ripoffs and consumer scams. And we will continue our conversation after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest consumer advocate about how we can protect ourselves from dishonest retailers and scammers. And we're welcoming your questions and your experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Susan Grant, the Director of Consumer Protection at the Consumer Federation of America, about a survey, a list of the top consumer complaints that was produced as a joint effort of the Consumer Federation of America and the North American Consumer Protection Investigators. We've talked about many of the top 10 here, including complaints about automobiles, home improvement or repair, credit debt complaints, retail sales. We'll get to some others. Number 10 on the list, though, was fraud, scams like fake checks, work-at-home schemes, imposter scams, and others. What are the most common kinds of scams, Susan Grant, that we should be on the lookout for?
I think that bogus sweepstakes and lotteries are still prevalent. And that's because human nature being what it is, we all want to believe that it's our lucky day, and scammers take advantage of that. And when we asked the agencies what the worst complaints were that they received last year, many of them said scams of all kinds against the elderly. And scams like these, sweepstakes and lotteries, you get a call or a letter saying that you've won. You need to send money somewhere for taxes or bonding or some kind of fees to get your prize. Those hit older people especially hard. For one thing, they're home to get the calls. Also, they're generally relatively trusting. And scammers know how to push all the right buttons to convince people that, in fact, they have won. If it's an older person, they'll play up their ability once they have the money to help their family with their finances. And so they're very skillful at convincing them to drain their savings in order to get this pot of gold, which never materializes.
It's really sad. And it so advice in terms of ways we can try to reduce or stop these scams against the elderly.
Well, we have tips for consumers at consumerfed.org/fraud about all of the common types of scams. There's another one called the grandparent scam, which does hit older people, but there are also variations of it for people of younger ages. And this is where you get a call, it may be in the middle of the night, from somebody who's pretending to be your grandson, for instance. And he's been in an accident or gotten into trouble with the police somewhere and needs you to wire money immediately in order to help him out. And by the way, don't tell anybody else because, you know, his parents would be furious. And, you know, you've been woken up and it sounds really alarming. And in some cases, they know the names to use. Perhaps they've gotten that information from a social networking site where there's information about one's family that's been posted. And so this is another really pernicious scam. You wire the money to these people. They pick it up using fake IDs, and it can never be traced.
Yeah, that's just really horrible. Here's another one. It's kind of old now, but with Facebook, you can have people who hack someone's account and might even be a relative's account. And I had this where my niece's account was hacked, and the desperate, breathless message that was sent to me with her name on it was, "Did you hear what happened?" And apparently my niece was the victim of a mugging somewhere. She was out of town. And it was like, I knew this wasn't true. I mean, at first you're startled. And then it was like, wait a minute. I know she's not out of town. And I ended up asking the scammer or the hacker, who are you with? And you know, the person wasn't able to name names that were really that my niece would have been with. But that kind of stuff is happening too, where you know the people are trying to pretend they're someone else.
That's right. That's exactly the variation of the grandparent scam that targets people of younger ages and really all ages, and it often comes by email, and I think we've all gotten those in our inboxes. If someone contacts you out of the blue saying that they're someone you know and they're in an emergency situation and need help right away, please don't wire money anywhere. Try to contact them or someone else who knows them and confirm the story. You'll find out that it's a scam.
Yeah. So how come I'm trying to figure out, you know, are the regulators, the law enforcement finding these scammers, or you know, how come they keep on doing this?
Well, it can sometimes be really hard to find them when you have sent money, for instance, through a money transfer service like Western Union or MoneyGram. It's like putting cash in an envelope and sending it, and because these scammers use fake IDs at the other end to pick up the money, how can you find them? It's really very difficult. They use prepaid cell phones that can be bought anonymously to make these calls. So I think what people have to recognize is that when you have a problem with a legitimate business, and there are always problems that are going to happen despite people's best intentions, your state and local consumer agency, like the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, can try to mediate a resolution to that problem. But when you are sending cash to a scammer, it's probably gone. And that's why you need to know what the danger signs are and not fall for it in the first place.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, we are going to put a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page for DATCAP, as it's sometimes known, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, which also includes the Consumer Protection Hotline in Wisconsin. If you have a complaint, you can call 1-800-422-7128. But you can also call us right now if you have a scam that you'd like to report or talk about anyway, or a consumer complaint that you'd like to vent about. 1-800-642-1234 is our number to call on air. actually, before we go to break, let me go to Donald in Darlington. Hi, Donald.
Hey, Joy. I got a question for your guest. I, about a year ago, got involved with an online school to study graphic design. And they promised everything. They would include everything. And that included the software. So if you're going to study graphic design, you've got to have, like, an Adobe program, which on its own, if you buy it, it's like $3,000. So I was getting this course for, like, half of probably what I should have been paying. I suppose that should have been a red flag right there, but I figured I would try it. Anyway, they sent the package. They didn't include the software. The only problem was is the disk. With what I've got, my XP, it's outdated. And the downloads you could download offline were also outdated. So I went through, I'm not going to use the name, but a larger company to try to buy software that was compatible. He spent like $300 on that, and they emailed me back and said the software they're using is too outdated. And it's not compatible. I tried to respond with them for 6 months. I kept paying the bill. Nothing. So I finally wrote them one last time, and I said, I'm done with it. I'm not going to finish the course. I'm not paying for any more of the payments. I'm done with it. Then they kept sending the bill. Now they're threatening to turn me into collections. As far as I'm concerned, they broke contract, not me.
Yeah,
by
so,
not delivering the software.
Right. So any just general advice, Susan Grant, for someone in Donald's situation?
Yeah, this is a really typical problem with for-profit vocational kinds of schools that are online as well as in brick-and-mortar form. How were the payments made, by credit card or withdrawals from the bank account?
No, I made them with money order. I sent a monthly payment in through a money order.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, gee, that's really tough. Well, it sounds like you have a complaint that you might want to file with the State Consumer Protection Agency. Maybe they can help you get your money back, because it sounds as though these people were not forthcoming about what the technical requirements were and what would work with what.
Yeah. Donald, good luck with that. And again, we'll have that information posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we will take more of your calls, reporting or asking about consumer ripoffs, consumer scams, consumer complaints. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with our guest consumer advocate about the top 10 consumer complaints that were filed last year. We've talked about many of them. Home improvement, credit, debt, retail sales, services, utilities, landlord-tenant issues, home solicitations, internet sales, health products and services, and other fraud and scams. We're welcoming your questions, your experiences, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Susan Grant is the Director of Consumer Protection at the Consumer Federation of America. Now our lines are full, and our next caller is Ben in Eau Claire. Hello, Ben.
Hi there. I got a question for Susan, more of a general question. In terms of some of these scams and frauds that I come across have really broken English, and I'm thinking they're either immigrants or someone from another country, and others are these more subtle ways, you know, like the Facebook messages and specific hacks towards specific families. But I was just curious if there was any patterns in terms of, you know, state-specific, city-specific, country-specific, where these frauds or scams are actually coming from.
Mm-hmm. Susan?
I'm glad you raised that. It's a great question. More and more scams are coming from other countries. And that's, again, because technology, whether it's various kinds of internet phone services or using email or websites just makes it easy to reach into the wallets of people in the U.S. from anywhere in the world. Certainly, if you get a message with broken English, with grammatical errors and so on, that can be a danger sign. But I want to emphasize that sometimes the language is absolutely perfect, and it can still be a scammer from another country. And the reason why this makes a difference, it's not that you should never do business with somebody in another country, if a scammer is operating from afar, it makes it really difficult for U.S. law enforcement agencies to go after him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have an answer to this, but Joe on Facebook says, why do cable and DSL internet continue to go up in price and inconvenience even as technology comes down in price and accomplishes more? Wasn't technology supposed to lower costs and make our lives less complicated? Well, I guess that gives us an opening to talk about maybe some of the complaints that we do get regarding cable or internet.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I don't know why the prices go up and up when supposedly all of this should be less and less expensive for us. And I suspect it's because we depend on these services, and it's the free enterprise system, and we can be charged whatever they can get away with. But there are a lot of complaints about phone and cable and satellite even electric and gas services, especially with deregulation of some utilities where now you can buy your electric service from a number of different companies, for instance, and there are misleading sales tactics. There are lots of complaints about high-pressure sales tactics to buy bundles of services when maybe there's just one thing that you're interested in. There's certainly a lot of complaints about satellite in terms of the quality of the service. Depending on the problem, you could complain to your state public utilities commission or to the state consumer protection agency.
Let's go next to Heidi in Merton. Hello, Heidi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
One thing I've noticed, and many people aren't aware of, my daughter worked at a quickie hamburger place for several years. And anytime they got a tip on the credit card, they never received the tip. The owner would keep the tip, saying that he keeps that to cover his cost of doing business with credit cards. And since I've been going out to eat, I keep asking. And lately I'm finding more and more places where I go to where I ask the waitress, if I leave a tip on the credit card, will you get it? And they say no. And when I actually called, and this was happening to my daughter, they wouldn't follow up because it wasn't over $100 when I called the protection agency.
Mm. Well, do you have any idea if this is legal, illegal, Susan Grant?
I don't know what the labor laws are in your state, but there's probably, separate from the Consumer Protection Agency, there's probably a state agency that has to do with enforcing whatever the labor laws are, including the payment of wages. And there may actually be a violation here in terms of not giving people the tips that customers have left for them. So that would be probably a good thing to look into.
Yeah. But generally, if I have a consumer complaint of some sort, and I call my local consumer protection agency, and I say, well, this store X won't accept, won't let me return an item that I don't like anymore or whatever. The Consumer Protection Agency isn't always going to follow up and make it right for me. Isn't that right?
Well, that's true. I mean, some agencies do have threshold amounts that they'll use to determine whether or not they'll take a complaint. There may be other criteria for taking a complaint. And when they do take a complaint, they may not always be able to resolve it. Mm-hmm. Most agencies at the state and local level will at least try informally to mediate a complaint by contacting the company. But in terms of taking formal legal action, they certainly can't do that for every complaint that they hear about. And so they look for patterns of unfair or deceptive practices. And that's why it's so important for people to make their complaints, even if their individual complaint may not be able to be resolved. If there are enough complaints about something, it may rise to the level of the agency actually being able to go to court or take some administrative action or some other kind of formal action in order to stop bad practices and protect all consumers.
Good point. Jen in Luxembourg is with us. Hi, Jen.
Good morning, Joy. I just wanted to call and share with the audience a scam that my daughter fell victim to. A lot of us as parents have individuals who are going to school this coming fall, and so I want to just kind of get the word out there. In order for our students to obtain a student loan, they need to complete a FAFSA. And the FAFSA must be completed, I believe, every February. So my daughter was hit with a scam. They reached out to her and said that they would process the FAFSA loan for her. It would cost $75. I had no clue. It was her first time processing the paperwork. Well, this is a governmental agency that will obviously you can go online and complete it for free. So she fell victim to that one. And then the second one that I wanted to bring awareness to is the Social Security number. So if you're a new parent, you receive a barrage of emails and notices through the mail of, you know, don't forget your child a Social Security number, and then they will charge a fee to do that. Again, another free service by the government. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that one was out there, because it's not a lot of money, but again, it's a scam that people are, falling victim to.
Yeah, we have less than a minute. Susan Grant, to comment on those?
That's so important. There are a lot of scammers that try to charge people for services that government offers for free. If you have any question about it, contact the government agency and ask.
Yeah. Well, in our final moment here, what final advice do you have for consumers listening next time they run into some trouble?
Well, be careful out there in the marketplace. I mean, most transactions go perfectly smoothly, but there are situations where things just go wrong, and then there's an argument about who should take responsibility. And there are out-and-out scammers. We have tips about fraud at consumerfed.org/fraud. And throughout our report about the complaints made to state and local agencies last year, we have tips for each of the stories that we tell from the agency's files on how you can either avoid those problems or what to do if you have them.
Sounds good. We have that posted on our Facebook page. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Susan Grant is with the Consumer Federation of America. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Justin Williams for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.